Good morning. How y'all doing this morning? Excellent. I'm going to move this so we don't have too much feedback. Everybody doing well this morning? Amen. Fantastic. I'm really excited to be talking to you guys today. Mr. Richard last week did a class for us on being, what was the word he used? Persistent in prayer. I mean, we can study prayer out for the next year and still not totally get everything that prayer is for us. Prayer is such a huge topic, so I'd like to tackle a little bit more of it today. Turn over your Bibles to Mark 11. Today, the title of my sermon is Being Expectant in Prayer. You know, when you think about the word expectant, what do you hear? Expect, exactly. Having an expectation of something. The Bible definition is someone who is looking forward to something. When we're expectant, you know, when I think about the word expectant, I think of an expectant mom. A mom that's pregnant for the first time and she's expecting a baby. All the energy that she's feeling, all the emotions, all the preparation, getting the nursery ready, picking out a name. There's joy in that expectation. You're there, you're waiting for this new birth, and you have no bad thoughts in your mind. You just can't wait till that baby's born. You know, I also think about a child on Christmas morning. You know, I want to take you adults back on the way back bus. When you were around this tall, what did you do Christmas morning? Did you wake up and just go downstairs and say, I think I'll serve myself some cereal, and I think I'll hang around. I'll wait for my parents to wake up at a reasonable hour. I'll be patient. I'll wait. No, you didn't. Because you know your kids don't do that. My kids get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. If there's an ungodly hour, that might be it. And they're up and they don't just come down. It's just like, Mother, Father, it is Christmas morning. May we open up our presents, please? They're in our faces. Get up. I'm expecting good things. I don't know exactly what you've wrapped up, but I'm expecting it to be good. See, that there's an expectation on Christmas morning. What do they expect? They don't expect no socks. They sure don't. Keep that for the gift you give after we've played with our toys. They're not expecting underwear. That's the last thing they expect. Now, sometimes we mess with them and give it to them because they do need those. But they want the Wii, the Xbox, the whatever, and they expect it and they want it, right? They don't come down expecting no gifts under the tree. They expect to be filled with good things. How, as we as parents, want to fulfill their expectation? Some of us take it to the extreme and we go into all types of debt for the rest of the year fulfilling that expectation. Let me give you a hint. That's not good either. But the heart's right. It wants to bless our children. Do you think God is less than that for us? When we come to Him in prayer, He wants us to expect Him to answer those prayers. Let's look at what the Bible talks about in this. Look over in Mark 11. We're going to start off in verse 22. Mark 11, starting in verse 22, it says, "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." When you pray, is this your attitude? Do you pray with expectation that God is wanting to answer your prayers? Do you have faith and trust that this God that calls us not only to pray but to expect can fulfill your prayers? That's a question for you to really think about. If God has instituted this thing called prayer, and he's giving us clear instructions on how to do it, and we do it our own way, whose fault is it? Our own. You know, there's three answers to prayer. You guys know them. It's very simple. It's either yes, there's no, and there's not now. Every single person in here has experienced all three. It's the same thing with your parents or any authority in your life. Either they're going to say yes, you may have a raise, or no, you may not have a raise. Or not now, because we ain't got no money. But when we do, we'll look you up. That's happening right now in a lot of places, right? With God, it's the same thing. We go to God and say, God, this is what I want. And he answers you every time. Sometimes it's a yes, and we like that one. We're very encouraged with the yes. We want yes. We don't want no. But sometimes it's a no. Sometimes it's a not now, you're not ready, or I'm not ready to give it to you yet. You know, sometimes the best answered prayers are the ones that God says no to. Why? Because he knows everything. If he turned around and said yes to all your prayers, we all would probably be in a different place today right now. I know for myself, I had prayed 5 years, eight years ago. I wanted to go into ministry, and God, when now? I want to be in the ministry now. I feel it. It's in my heart. He said, not yet. You're not ready. Not now. And I misread God because I wanted to run ahead of God, and I read it as no. So I got discouraged. I said, well, maybe this isn't what he wants me to do. So what did I do? I examined myself. I said, you know what? Maybe it's not a no. Maybe it's just a not now. I can live with not now. And guess what? I can live with no too. Guess what, guys? If you can't deal with a no, you're going to live a very hard life. Because in everything in life, it's not always going to be a yes. And God waited for a period, and he made it clear for us to come here and come into the ministry. If I ran ahead of God and tried to do things my way, I would have messed this up. And we might not be here right now. I shudder to think that thought. Because we love being here. We love God's timing. You must grow to love God's timing. You need to expect that he has your best in heart and in mind. Not only is he able, but he's willing. He's willing to meet your needs. Look over in James. James 1. I love it that we have a God that we could go to that wants us to come to him and ask him whatever we want. We are blessed to have a relationship with God. James 1, starting in verse 6. It says, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man or woman should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Wow. I heard a wow out there. That is a wow scripture. Verse 6, it says, when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Verse 7, that man should not think he will receive anything. Are your prayers being answered by God? If your prayers aren't being answered by God, check the scripture and see if that's where you're at. Maybe you're praying stuff that God just doesn't want for your life. Maybe you're praying about things that you're just flat out not ready for yet. You know, our job is not to fret and worry in faithlessness. It's to depend on him totally. It's to sit back, pray, and have that swagger, have that confidence that only God can give you. You know, I was watching the NBA All-Star thing yet last night. And they were talking about one guy, he dunked two balls. That was amazing. That was awesome. I can't even dunk a donut. But, I mean, he just, I could do that. But, I mean, he just did two balls. He was about to do three. And they commented that his swag was on, like, he was on fire. Why? Because he knew he was at the top of his game, and everyone was looking at him as a standard. See, when you have a great relationship with God, when you're praying, you get to have a nice little swag. You can walk around, and it's not about you. I know I look good, but I'm not swagging because of that. I'm swagging because my Father loves me. I got my Father. He provides for me. He takes care of me. No enemy shall prosper. They can't harm me unless it's his will. And he will teach me something even in that time. Are those your prayers? When you have an enemy against you, do you pray for your enemy? With confidence that God, being expected in prayer, that he will take care of that enemy and make him your friend. That he will change the hearts of men in your favor. That's the kind of God we serve, guys. This is not a God that expects us to come to him and says, well, God, I'm really not sure. He says, come to me boldly. And we're going to read that. Are you bold in prayer? Do you dare ask your Father for anything on your heart? And we're going to talk about what that anything should be. Look over in 1 John. I'm coming. I find the scripture just like y'all. 1 John 3. First John 3:21, it reads, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, I'm going to read that again. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the spirit he gave us. This scripture is so good. We got to read a little bit more of it again. Dear friends, if your hearts do not condemn us, what stops us from prayer? Sin. That's the thing that condemns us. When we're not feeling like we're so right with God, when we're not living the life that he expects us to live, the life that we signed up for willingly, the life that we've professed to be about. How's your prayer life during those times? Do you feel like you go to your father and ask him for anything? Think about your earthly parents. Right after you get in trouble, you don't want to see them for a long time. You kind of slinking around the house like, I hope they didn't see me. Oh, I got to ask them for $5 for the movie. Well, it ain't $5 no more. I need to ask them for $30 for the movies. $10 for the movies, $20 for the popcorn. I need to ask them for some money. Well, you better not ask them now. You just got in trouble. See, that's not God. God, when you're in trouble, he says, come to me. That's when I can help you. I can't help you afterwards. Well, he can, but that's not when he wants us to come. He wants us to come to him when we're in the midst of the battle. That's the God we serve, but it's true. If our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask. Do you have those anything prayers? I'm not talking about the lotto. Stop being worldly. Now, for some of you, that's not a worldly prayer at all because you're going to use that money to glorify God. How about some of you, the rest of us? What are you going to do with the lotto if you get it? Is tithing the first thing on your mind? Or is that real nice car that you've been always wanting? Is that the first thing on your mind? How about if you did get that promotion? What would you do with it? See, the things that we pray for reveal our hearts before God. And he says in verse 23, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commands us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. When you're praying, do you pray for others? Are you the last person that you pray for? He says right here to love one another, right? In what? In prayer. We need to be bringing each other before the Father in prayer constantly. See, guess what? If you're doing that and your neighbor's doing that, your name is being prayed about 250 times a day. That's pretty awesome. Instead of just your one voice begging out to God. Now, am I saying not to pray for yourself? That's silly. No. You have a relationship with the Father. But you're last on the list, y'all. We have to remember that we are last. But a lot of times we like to put ourselves first. That's just us by nature. You know, God does check what we pray about. You know, in Psalm 37:4, you don't have to turn there. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Amen. You know what? There lies the problem. Where are your desires? That's the challenge for us all. Where are our desires at when we start praying to God? You know, God, we need to be expectant. We need to know that he wants to answer our prayers. But there's some prayers that you probably don't want him to answer. I have a little movie clip that I want to show you guys. You know, imitation is the, biggest form of flattery. And my mentor showed a little clip last week, so I'm going to do the same thing. This is a clip from the Spider-Man 3 movie. No Spider-Man in it, sorry. And it's one of the bad guys. It's after Peter Parker pretty much ruined Eddie Brock's career. And we find Eddie Brock in church. What did he pray for? The death of another man. Do you think God is very quick to answer that prayer? No. If you remember the movie, why was he in the circumstance he was in? Because of deceit. He had photoshopped the picture, and Peter, being in his like kind of funky form that he was in at the time, kind of totally blasted him, and everybody knew about it. He couldn't get a job anywhere in a high school newspaper. So what does he do? He's a righteous man. He ran to God. He was like, let me go to church. And, you know, when we first watched the movie, I was like, he's at church? He got the whole holy water and stuff going on? Wow, what's going on with this guy? And then he says, you know, I'm humbled by what has happened in my life, and I just ask you for one thing. Can you kill Peter Parker, please? Have you ever prayed a ridiculous prayer like that? Don't lie. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. I don't want nobody lying up in here. You know, we've all prayed some crazy stuff sometimes. Maybe not as absurd as that. But we prayed stuff that, thank God, the answer was no. In our finite minds, we think we know more than the creator of the universe. How arrogant is that? God wants us to be expected in prayer, but he also wants us to know the hierarchy in things. He's the one that decides the yes, the no, or the not now. And we, as obedient children, must take that answer spiritually. Look over in James 4. And for your viewing pleasure, we will watch the movie again. No. That was good. Just to tabulate. It's all good. God is messing with me. It's all good. He has a good sense of humor. I just need a little light so I can read. Thank you. James 4. Let's start in verse 1. It says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires and battle I'm sorry, from the desires that battle within you. You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight, you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit is caused, the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely? But He gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to the mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. There's a lot of meat in the scripture. What I want to focus on when he says verse 3. When you ask, you do not receive. Let there be lights. Because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Again, what would you do if you gained great wealth? If out of nowhere a bag of money fell in your possession, where would be your first destination? Wow. We're really just... focus. Where would you go? Would you buy a new light system for the building? Verse 4, you adulterous people. Don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? See, when we pray, we give ourselves away. That's why it's so intimate to pray with someone. That's why sometimes it's not appropriate to pray with somebody. It's a very intimate time. I advise the teens a lot of times, be careful what time y'all pray. If it's boy, girl, don't be praying it early in the morning when your emotions are all like loose and y'all waking up and emotions are flying. Guess what? Prayer is intimate. You're coming before your Creator. You expose yourself. When you pray, hopefully that's what you're doing. You're going to God and saying, God, I can't hide anything from you anyway. So here I come, confessing, begging, pleading with you, expecting you to do something amazing in my life. Are those the kind of prayers that we're having? As Richard mentioned last week with the persistent widow, we need to persistently go after God, but if we don't expect Him to answer, He won't. If you do not have faith in your prayers, it is a wasted time. Who here likes to do something and it doesn't yield anything back? Who here likes to waste their time? Who here likes to clean their car with dirty rags? Who here likes to paint a house with no paint on the brush? It don't make no sense. Well, praying without faith is the same thing. You're going through the motion, but you ain't getting nothing from it. Guys, it's time to examine our prayer lives. God is calling us not only as a congregation, but as individuals. When's the last time you sat down with somebody and had a real heart-to-heart talk? I'm not saying baptizing somebody. I'm not saying, you know, trying to convert somebody. I'm talking about just a life talk. I love you so much. I am willing to lose my relationship with you. That kind of talk. As a congregation, as individuals, are we having those talks? Guess what, y'all? I had those talks way before I got into the ministry. Getting into the ministry is just an extension of what I was doing before. And if it wasn't, I shouldn't be in the ministry anyway. Being in the ministry is not about doing a job. It's about being given such a privilege by not having to go to a 9-to-5 that I can focus on this all the time. And again, it is a privilege. And I thank God for it. But as disciples, are we having those conversations? Are we bringing those people's names before God and expecting Him to do something amazing in their lives? You know, when the kids wake up Christmas morning, they're not calm. They're going crazy. Why? Because they're excited. Are you excited when you pray to your God? Do you pray and just like, whoo, let me watch out. He's about to do something amazing. He ain't going to do something crazy. That's my God. My God, he's just going, boom. It's going, wow. Or do you pray and say, okay, I'm going to pray for 15 seconds. Or we don't do that. Hopefully we don't do that. But I'm going to have my 15-minute quiet time, and God, that's what I'm going to give you. I'm going to read for 10 and try to pray for 5. And unfortunately, sometimes out of that 5, 4 of it go to ourselves. Do you think God does not know you're struggling? Do you think God does not know that you're going through some stuff? Guess what, guys? If you sat down and studied the Bible or sat down with somebody else, you'd realize there's plenty of other people going through worse than you. When we navel gaze and we're looking at ourselves and we're totally consumed with us, God can't use us. Our prayers are hindered when we're constantly focused on us. Guess what? If we're all praying for each other, our needs are being met by the Father. How is your prayer life? Is it the kind of prayer life that Jesus would be like, out of all the murmurs that are coming up from the earth, he could pick yours out? Oh, here comes Mercibel. I hear her. Man, you hear that faithful prayer? She's expecting a guy to work in the youth ministry so much, they're going to baptize 20 girls this year. What? I like that. Is it unrealistic? No. God can do much more than we can dream about. Do you go to God with that prayer? When the teens pray, when Russell prays, is heaven shaken? Do the demons tremor when he walks by and says, ooh, there's a praying man coming in the building? See, you don't realize, well, hopefully you do, but I think sometimes we forget that prayer is power. When we pray, we tap into God's power. You by yourself, we're weak bags of flesh. That's all we are. But when we're tapped into God, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Ordinary men do extraordinary things. Alone we can do nothing. But it all starts off in prayer. It all starts off in prayer. Look over in Hebrews 14. You know, I think we need to be like little children when we pray. Think about little children when they want something. Just like we were talking about last week about them being persistent. Yes, little children are persistent. They'll keep on coming back to you time and time again. But guess what? They're very expectant. They expect you to deliver. If they say they're hungry, they don't expect you to be like, yeah, whatever. They expect you to come through with something. Some chicken fingers, some Big Mac, whatever you want to give them, they expect. Is that a right expectation? If they're hungry and they go to their caretaker, should they expect food? Or should they expect to put off? Well, wait, you're not ready for food yet. But I'm hungry! Think about God. God is the perfect dad. When we have a genuine need, see, we need to understand the difference between genuine needs and plenty of wants. Me and my son will go into the store, and there's some plenty of wants going on in that store. I don't care if we go to a hardware store, he wants something from that store. If he walks out with a screw, my man is happy. He got a screw. Does he need a screw? No. But he got something. You go into Walmart, forget it. He wants waffle irons. He don't even know how to cook. He don't care what he gets. He just wants something. He expects. Now, do I buy him that stuff? No. If he needs some shoes, we go to the store for shoes. What are we going to walk out with? Some shoes. Why? Because he needs them. When we go to God in prayer and we're asking for all this stuff, You might not walk out of that prayer with that stuff. But guess what? You're fed, you're protected, you have a home, and you have a God that flat out loves you, adores you. Isn't that much better than that car that you want? The security that you have as a disciple when you put your head down on that pillow is priceless. If disciples would make that commercial over, this costs $5.99, this costs 12 cents, this is priceless. Our relationship with God is priceless. We get to walk around again with confidence. When I first got here, I didn't have a lot of confidence. I felt like I had some God-given ability, but I had to be taught that that's not where it lies. Yesterday when I was watching the slam dunk contest, they were talking about the guy that won. I forgot his name. Marshall, whatever. Yeah, that's the guy. And amazing dunks. I mean, he was spectacular. But I think it was Charles Barkley that made a comment, and he said, man, he's going to be amazing when he learns how to play basketball. And you sit there like, excuse me? What was he doing? He's like, let me explain that. He was like, he came, and he's a rookie this year. So he's coming at 100 miles per hour, all energy, all not necessarily skill, but just natural know-how. He says, but when he learns the game, when he learns how to slow down, when he learns how to think like a basketball player, when he learns how the game is truly played, he will be unstoppable. Think about that, about us in prayer. We come into our relationship with God, we're baptized, and we're praying, and we're just there, and we need to study our Bibles to understand how to pray. It is a principle in the Bible, guys. This is not just something you just wake up doing. Now, there are steps. And wherever you're at in the process is a good place. But you do get better in prayer as you get older. Your prayers become more, there's more substance there. Now, I'm a firm believer. I want to be emotional in prayer. I want an emotional relationship with my God. But that's not everything. If you didn't cry in your quiet time in your prayer, you're still a Christian. It's okay. Guys, we need to be expecting of God in prayer, but we need to have the right expectations from Him. Look over in Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4:16. And we're going to close out here. It says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That was so good, we need to read it again. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Woo! You can sit down and just be quiet after that. That is amazing. God wants us to come. He knows us. He knows what you just thought. And if it was bad, He knows it. And if it was good, He knows that too. And if you don't have a thought, amen. He knows that too. God knows what you did last night. God knows what you're going to do tonight. God knows everything about you, and He still says, come to me in confidence. Why? Because we have a relationship. See, we don't need to be all boastful and prideful about our times with God that we get to do this. We need to be flat out humble and come to Him with confidence, but there's a humility in that confidence. We don't just barge into the throne room of God and say, hey, God, I'm here. Here's my list. I'll see you later. You think God is going to answer that? Do you think God's going to answer that? Exactly. Would you answer that? You and your wife are sitting on the couch. Your kid busts through the door, hands you a list and says, do this now. I love you. See you later. I don't think the conversation is over right there. we need to have a little talk. And there might be a little spoon involved. You know what I'm saying? All right, don't start calling the cops. I see people taking out their phones. Start calling the cops on me or something. Confidence. Are you confident when you go before God? Or do you go in thinking, he doesn't hear me? He doesn't want to listen to me. You need to examine your relationship with God. You need to understand that God adores you. I mean, what more does he have to do? He allowed his son to die for us. He proved it. He doesn't need to keep on proving it. Now it's time for us to answer for what he's done for us. These are a couple of things I want to leave you with. Trust that God is more than able to answer our prayers. Fight to live a life that allows you to have a clear conscience. If we need to come to God with confidence, we need to live a life that allows us to do that. We need to fight for our purity. We need to purify our motives. When we come to God with things, let them not be trivial things, and let them mostly be about others. And we need to come to the throne of God with confidence, not in ourselves, but in the invitation of God that he's given us. See, if we do these things, we can be expected in God in prayer. Amen.
Let's give John another round of applause for a great, great sermon. And as is fitting after a sermon like that, let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that you want a relationship with us, that you have given us the privilege of having that relationship. Father, we're so grateful that you want to hear from us, that you want us to tell you what's on our hearts, to be open and honest with you. Father, we're so thankful that you promise that when we come to you in faith, that you will answer our prayers. Father, where would we go except to you? Thank you so much for the reminders and the new thoughts about how we should have our relationship and how our prayer life should be. Father, we thank you for the promises to the answers to our prayers. And Father, help us to live up and to grow in this area. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.